Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's guest is Bruce James. Bruce is the public printer of the United States and the chief executive officer of the U.S. Government Printing Office. Joining us on our conversation is Lauren Ewald.
Bruce, GPO is different from most other agencies in that it's a fee-for-service agency. Can you tell us about how this affects the management and budgeting of GPO?
Well, I'll take a shot at it. This is a very interesting setup that we have. It's not like a business because we have, in addition to all the functions you normally have in a business, the sales function, the financial function, the manufacturing function, we have a bunch of added things like an inspector general, like a very large general counsel's office, many times the size of what you'd see in a business. We have a contract disputes organization called an administrative law judge. We have our own EEO office as mandated by, all these things are mandated by Congress. So what we have is a situation where Congress does not fund any of those functions directly or doesn't fund us directly to run the agency as they do most other agencies. Instead, we get paid for the work that we do. And we get two appropriations from Congress. One is what's called the Congressional Printing and Binding Appropriation, and that's to do the work of Congress. And so we take our direct costs and we add a portion of the cost for running those other functions and put them into that budget. We get a second appropriation, which is for the Superintendent of Documents operation. That's to fund our library program and fund electronic distribution of information. And then the rest of money we earn, which is 80%, maybe 85% of the money, is earned from the fees that we charge for doing printing for the rest of the government. And it's either fees that we earn while we produce the work at our plant or fees that we put on top of the jobs for procuring the work.
You have a change agenda. How do you drive accountability for implementing the ideas?
Well, it is. We have a whole structure for that, and that falls under my chief of staff. And his job is to make certain that what we've agreed on is actually getting implemented throughout the organization, that people are doing the planning, they're taking the actions that need to be done. He has under him two deputy chiefs of staff, one for strategic planning, one for contingency planning. And then there are a couple of assistants that he has that are there specifically to follow lines of our business and making certain that we're implementing what it is that we said we're going to do.
Bruce, I have heard the term fugitive documents with respect to the library program. Could you explain that, please?
When I walked in the door and heard that term, I thought we must have warrants out for these documents. And it's an interesting term. It's a term used by the library community. When a government agency creates a document that doesn't make it into the depository library program, they call it a fugitive document. And the reason it would not make it into the program is that the GPO does not know it exists. And that would be the case if it were produced within an agency printing plant and the agency wasn't alert enough to send it to us. Or in some cases, in frustration, agencies have violated the law and they've worked around the GPO and they've acquired printing directly. And it's pretty hard for them if they violated the law to come tell us here's the product now. So these fugitive documents have been out there. It really bothers the library community because they feel that we're missing part of the record of government. So this new agreement that we reached with OMB really addresses that fugitive document problem head on. There's no question that OMB recognizes the importance of corralling all of this government information into a single spot. There's no question they believe it should be done through the GPO and our Superintendent of Documents operation. And they are working with us to make certain that agencies understand not only the importance of this, but understand their legal responsibility. And it's their job to enforce it.
GPO does a lot of work for government, as you've spoken about throughout our interview this morning. What's government like as a customer?
Perhaps I can answer it this way. I was in the West Coast a couple of months after I'd been working for the government, and one of my friends said to me, "What's been your biggest surprise?" And I said, "It's the people." I absolutely did not expect to find the caliber of people in our organization and throughout government. We have breadth, we have depth. I have more talent than I ever had in the private sector. And I think that may characterize what I see. The government isn't driven by profit. As we're used to in the private sector. And therefore, they tend to look at time differently. They tend to look at money differently. I know that I was speaking with one of our people about contracting our inventory. I believe our inventories are two or three times the size they should be, raw materials, paper primarily. And he said, well, Bruce, we don't have a cost of money. And, you know, it's sort of the way the government thinks about that. They don't think in terms of cost of money as the private sector does. Well, it's once they understand why, once they sort of get it, it's very easy for them to manage it and get into it. And that's what we're doing. We're teaching business techniques to our very talented group of executives. And at the end of the day, I expect the GPO will be the best managed agency in government.
How much progress has GPO made thus far transforming itself from paper-based organization to an information-based organization?
Well, we've made great progress. I mean, this year, for the first time, 50% of all the government's documents will be delivered electronically. We will not print those. So I'd say that's an enormous step forward. I met with the large librarians, 400 of the largest librarians in the country, a couple of months ago out west, and told them to expect within 5 years to receive 95% of all the government's documents in digital form, that we won't be printing them.
What's your vision for the office 5 to 10 years out?
Let me tell you that for 200 years, the record of the government, the congressional record, which records what happens in Congress, has looked the same. And when computers were brought on the scene 20 years ago, those pages were moved into computer format, and we began to try and emulate the page in a computer form, you know, by PDFs and other things, and make the database searchable. But that really, what we're saying here is that we're doing the same thing we were 200 years ago. We're just now using computers to assist it. Well, I think we need to take a step back, and I think we need to have a higher vision. And, you know, I would think that 200 or 300 years from now, when people are interested in the record of the country, what the country was doing, what Congress was doing in this period, they'd be much more interested in seeing video of the floor debates going on in the House and the Senate, have a switch to see what the Washington Post was writing about it, to be able to see contemporary interviews on the subject. And so I think what we need to do is to begin to prepare for the future. I think that by the time I leave the GPO, we will be thinking about what IBM refers to as rich media, and we'll be thinking about how that will be employed in the future, maybe 20, 25 years down the road before we do it, but we'll be moving in that direction.
What advice would you give to a person interested in a career in public service?
It's a high calling. I think every person should spend some portion of their life, whatever they can afford, in public service. And I think the opportunity to come to Washington and see how our government functions firsthand, to be able to work with so many talented and dedicated people, is an experience that I would commend to anyone. I've had a chance in recent weeks to be on college campuses recruiting the next generation of GPO managers. And it's just a wonderful story that I weave and tell, the opportunities. A young person coming into our organization will move much faster than they would in the private sector. They'll have much more responsibility, much quicker. And so I think it's a high calling. It's a wonderful undertaking. I commend government service. I'm very pleased to have had this opportunity myself.
Do you think so you came late into your career. Do you think it's that people should come to government immediately? Should they have other experiences? Should they come and go?
I think you need a mix of all. I think the idea of having young people have their first job in government could be quite good. I needed a new inspector general. Inspector generals normally are old and gray and very experienced. I picked a 33-year-old lawyer out of a law firm in California, and his partners were thrilled to see him have the opportunity to come back to Washington. And he'll be here for 2 or 3 years. It's an important, certainly sacrificing financially to do it, but he will learn a lot in this process, and when he goes back to practice law, he'll sure have a better understanding of the government.
Bruce, I'm afraid we're out of time. Lauren and I want to thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, I am very pleased to be here, Paul. Thank you and Lauren. And I just, again, suggest to your listeners that if you're interested in seeing what the GPO is doing today, that you dial up on your computer, www.gpoaccess.gov, to find out the record of the nation.
And that's where they can find career opportunities as well?
You certainly can.
Great. Thank you, Bruce. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Bruce James, the Public Printer of the United States and the Chief Executive Officer of the U.S. Government Printing Office. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness, and you can also get a transcript of today's very interesting conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.